Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. I say it to Him over and over, Lord, do anything You want with me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you mothers today about a mother's prayer time. A question which is often asked is, how is the mother of small children to have any kind of quiet time? Well, it's a good question, and I can understand the difficulty. And let me say at the outset that it is impossible to have exactly the same time every day, because we all know that there are emergencies of all sorts and sizes and shapes with children. If you normally get up at 5 o'clock to have a quiet time with the Lord, and it is at 5 o'clock that your 3-year-old decides to vomit all over his bed and all over the floor and all the way down the hall to your room, then obviously something else has to be done first. And rest assured, cleaning up the vomit is the will of God, I believe, at that point, and so you can do it for His glory. I've had a lovely letter from the mother of 5, and this is what she says. "Thank you for encouraging and inspiring me. I homeschool all my children, ages 1.5 months, 3 years, 5.5 years, and 8 years. Also, I'm pregnant with my 5th child." I would assume that that baby has been born by now, so I say she's the mother of 5. "I especially like it when you talk about your daughter Valerie, particularly in reference to her homeschooling, housekeeping, and child rearing. It's so refreshing to hear your awed attitude toward your daughter and her pursuits. My mother has particularly resisted my efforts, and it makes it very difficult. It's really a tough job, and there's no way I could do this if I didn't know I was responding to the call of God in my life in regard to my children. With very little outside support," she says, "out of necessity, I draw my strength from God each morning at 4 a.m. When I don't, I'm sorely chastised, drop in the bed, and am thankful for the next day. I mention this because with discipline, you can rise early, even if you are raising several young children. I was not a disciplined teenager, and slept all morning if I could, and later in our early marriage was not a, quote, morning person, unquote. But now, the day is so much better when my spirit has been uplifted and refreshed. I feel so much better knowing the power of the Holy Spirit has been released to work in my children's lives and in the nation, if the Spirit so desires. This whole process of change hasn't happened overnight, but with continued persistence, I was and still am making little gains step by step. Thank you for your continued encouragement for the stay-at-home moms and her contribution to society." I do appreciate that letter so very much, but please don't be telling your friends, "Elizabeth Elliot is saying we've all got to get up at 4 a.m. No, that's not what I'm saying. I've just read you the testimony of one woman who is not naturally a morning person, but she has found that the Lord gives her strength to get up at 4 a.m., and He makes it worthwhile. He meets her there. So what I am saying is not that you have to get up at 4 a.m. necessarily, but I am saying that it's important that you do set aside a time, purpose in your heart to keep your appointment with God, and if real emergencies occur, take them as His intervention. Don't fuss with yourself, but look for a later opportunity that day. The busier we are, the more we need quiet time. I think it was Martin Luther who said that the busier he was, the more hours of prayer he needed. If it was a very especially full day, then he had to have 3 hours or 4 hours, I've forgotten what it was, for prayer. I would also strongly suggest that you have a quiet time in the middle of the afternoon if you have small children. And my daughter has managed to have this quiet time set aside every afternoon. It doesn't mean that everybody takes a nap. It doesn't mean that everybody reads the Bible and prays. It does mean that everybody has to be alone in a quiet place, alone if possible. Now, right now, they don't have a house big enough for each child to have separate bedrooms. So they have to sometimes sit on the sofa in the living room, be in their rooms, be somewhere alone where they're quiet. And it is perfectly well understood that each child must learn to occupy himself for a solid hour. If this seems impossible to you, let me tell you what I saw with my own eyes when I was there some months ago. Quiet time had come. Valerie goes upstairs and takes a nap, at least for 20 minutes or so, and everyone in the house was quiet. The children can read or play quietly with their toys or puzzles or paper dolls or something, but it's understood that nobody talks. Nobody traipses up and down the hall. Nobody can come to Mommy and say, Mommy, what do I do now? And it gives Val that saving grace of a quiet hour in the afternoon. But I was standing there ironing in the family room, and Valerie had set the 4-year-old and the 6-year-old on two ends of the same sofa. And they sat there for the entire hour. Valerie had put a timer on the coffee table in front of them. And those two children, 4 and 6, did not open their mouths. They sat on that couch until the timer went off. But, of course, you have to start early enough to train them. Keep a prayer notebook. You don't certainly have to write down everything that you pray about. But I would strongly suggest that you might keep a family prayer notebook in which one or two things that you're praying about together as a family would be written down so that later on, when you may have forgotten all about having prayed, you will go back and see that you did pray and that God did answer. One mother that I know fasts every Tuesday and Thursday. Her older children are in school. Her youngest child is being homeschooled. And she said, of course, I feed her breakfast, lunch, and dinner on those days. But she knows that I'm fasting, and she will always have that example before her. Let me suggest that you make sure your children know that you pray for them. It won't hurt them a bit to know that you are on your knees for them. And one of the many great prayers in the New Testament that you can use for your children, and I often use for mine, is in Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Here's a beautiful prayer. May the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in all goodness so that you may do his will. And may he make of us what he would have us be through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Another prayer that I found in my mother's little red prayer notebook, which was in her possessions after she died, is this one, and it seems to be anonymous. If anyone can give me the source or the author of this, I would be delighted to give credit the next time I use it, but this is all I know. Father, our children keep. We know not what is coming on the earth. Beneath the shadow of thy heavenly wing, O keep them. Keep them, thou who gavest them birth. Father, draw nearer us. Draw firmer round us thy protecting arm. O clasp our children closer to thy side, uninjured in the day of earth's alarm. Them in thy chambers hide. O hide them and preserve them calm and safe when sin abounds, and error flows abroad, and Satan tempts, and human passions chafe. O, keep them undefiled, unspotted from a tempting world of sin, that clothed in white, Through the bright city gates, they may with us in triumph enter in. The prayer is called, Father, Our Children Keep. And I want to read that first stanza again because it's one that I'm sure so many of you are going to want to pray in view of so many threats that seem to hang over our children and our grandchildren. And we feel so keenly, more strongly than ever, the desperate need of prayer for them. And let's never forget that we are cooperators with God in our prayers. That's the most important thing about prayer to me. Not that I should get the answer that I'm looking for, but that I should align my will with God's and give Him my voice and my heart and my time and my energies to cooperate with Him by prayer. The first part of this prayer poem, again, Father, our children keep. We know not what is coming on the earth. Beneath the shadow of thy heavenly wing, O keep them, keep them, thou who gavest them birth. May God make us all faithful in our prayers. Prayers for our children, prayers for our home, prayers for our marriage, prayers for the world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, should be a prayer that every one of us offers up more than once per day. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Thank you.